Welcome to episode 335 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes of the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. One of our favorite things about Walt Disney World is that there is always something new happening. This past year, we've talked about the ways that you've had to adapt if you wanted to visit. It's been a little while, and we wanted to give an update on what's going on with one of our favorite places. So let's get started. Disney, what hasn't changed?
We're not talking about the 50th anniversary today. We just need to say that.
Okay.
Why are we not talking about the 50th?
Because we're going to talk about it later.
Yep.
When we know more, because Disney doesn't tell us anything in advance. Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't announced that much yet.
So. The only thing we know is Ratatouille opens that day.
Yay! And guys, seriously, if this is not your favorite ride at Disney after you experience it, then something is wrong with you.
I've heard.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, that's all we're going to say.
Okay.
Which so, October 1st.
Yep. So
although
that's
we should
what
say,
we know.
If you want to be there for, you know,
October 1st. Stuff,
well, or if you want to be there in October, you need to book it now.
Yeah, we're recording this well ahead of when you're hearing it, and it's already sold out for two parks, so for October 1st. That said, the next week in October is still open, so when we record this. Maybe not when you hear it, but when we record it, totally.
So my understanding is the 50th does start on October 1st and is going to run for 18 months?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I heard.
In true Year of a Million Dreams style, it's a 18-month year. Because it's Walt Disney World, so their year can be however long they want it to be.
I mean, you got to give a lot of people a chance to get down there. You can't just do it for the rest of this year. You know?
It's a big party, yeah. But we do anticipate, we at Outlander Travel anticipate, though we have no insider knowledge, that there will be more announcements to come. So we're not going to do that until later, because we think there's going to be more to tell you about. So other than Ratatouille, hopefully. Right. So what are we going to talk about?
So let's start with Epcot, and we can talk about the International Flower and Garden Festival, which is running this year, and I believe it is longer than in years past.
Yes. It's a
twice as long, yeah.
Taste of Epcot International Flower and Garden. So it's
they're making sure they get lots of use out of those kiosks.
Well, and fewer of the extra stuff, like the, you know, they used to have the HGTV TV people there doing seminars, like that kind of stuff is not going on. But the topiaries and the food booths look really good. Did you guys see the picture of the avocado toast?
No.
It's got flowers on it.
You know, I was just going to say that. Why do they not incorporate flowers into the food if it's
flower?
They do. So, okay. I haven't been to this one.
It's very farm to table. So that's what they do, is they focus on agriculture, which I think is actually an excellent theme. And honestly, when you think, so you think of Flower and Garden Festival in the past, and Stacey mentioned they're calling it Taste Of. So they're focusing on the food, but not because they need to focus on the food, but because that's the thing they can do where they give you individualized portions where you can stand in a line 6 feet apart. Whereas if they did the HGTV speaker, they'd have to put you in a theater with, you know, 100 of your closest friends. And 100 is sort of generous. It's really more than that. And they can't do that. So they're eliminating the like programming from a group's point of view. And they're doing the things that they can do and still keep you socially distanced. So just like the International Festival of the Arts that just happened, and also just like the Food and Wine Festival that just happened, they're focusing on the things they can do and still keep you safe. Or as safe as possible in COVID. So honestly, to me, I'm all about the food. So I can't garden. I have a black thumb. So whatever.
I like that they're doing they still have music at the American Pavilion.
Yes.
It's not like in years past where it was like Rick Springfield or, you know, bands that you loved in the 90s.
Or 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 70s or 60s.
I saw Sheena Easton. The Gym Blossoms. I've seen of Soul Asylum. I've seen some really, really good bands there. But what they've been doing in the past festivals, and I don't think they've announced Flower and Garden, but I could, well, I guess it's going on now, so they probably have, and I just don't know. But they've had the mariachi guys from the Mexican Pavilion performing over there. They've had the Jammeters that you usually see in Future World. They had Voices of Liberty, right? Did you see Voices of Liberty?
Yeah, they added Voices of Liberty for the International Festival of the Arts, and they did not have them for Food and Wine. Food and Wine was still mariachi and Jammeters, like, yeah, alternating, and then they added in Voices of Liberty, and Voices of Liberty did, like, Broadway show tune, well, Disney songs. Classic Disney songbook, let me put it that way. And I think that sort of brought in, because in past years, the International Festival of the Arts has been, they've brought in Broadway stars to sing Disney Broadway songs. Right. So it sort of tied it all together. So yeah, I would think that, I don't know the schedule for Flower and Garden, but you may see, because part of what they've done, and sorry if I sound a little scattered, but part of what they've done is the flower power sort of thing. So Peter Noon, or some of the original Monkees would be there. So Peter Noon was from, I'm Henry VIII, I am. What is that band? Oh my gosh.
Not the Turtles.
Oh my gosh, my mind just went blank. But so our listeners, all three of them, can like email me with all the stupidity of what I just forgot. But so we may see some of that sort of theming is sort of covering that period, but that flower power period, but Disney's own entertainers, which is great because it means they're keeping people employed as well.
Peace. I have to say, I love the mariachi band.
I know, they're so
hermits,
good.
Yeah. Hermits.
Thank you. That's go. It. Yes.
Whenever I've been the last couple times with my friend Terry, her mother was from Mexico, and so that was the kind of music her mom listened to around the house, and so she loves sitting there and listening to it. And I love that they get to perform on this big stage because I've seen them over like in the shadow of the pyramid in the Mexican Pavilion, and you know it's usually really hot and maybe some people will crowd around. I think this is really cool. I do like the fact that they're still there performing.
And Disney did have to lay off a lot of performers, so definitely supporting those performers and bringing them back first, mm-hmm. number one, like that's what we want to see. So yeah. And so it's going on until July 5th this year, which normally the Flower and Garden Festival is over like early May. So you get extra time to enjoy it, almost twice as long.
Yeah. So I bet you the Food and Wine will probably start right after it.
Yeah. Well, I have to wonder, I mean, July 5th, how many flowers can still grow? Like, go see how they can keep those flowers blooming because it's Florida, people. It's hot and everything's wilting. You will be wilting and those flowers will still be beautiful because they take such good care of them. And they do. They literally rip out that entire grass area in around the lake and they plant flowers there. It's beautiful.
And even the topiaries.
I'm not a flower and garden kind of person, but it is gorgeous. You cannot ignore how the incredible work they do.
Yeah, for some reason, we always seem to end load our vacations, and they're always in September, October, November. So I think we need to start having a spring one. So
yeah.
So I've never been to this. Maybe it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I go in May all the time. I love going in May. It's like a really great time to go. Great weather, great crowds, really good time.
Well, and if you're not sure they take it seriously, I was there like the first week of February, and they were ripping out and replanting then, and this started March 3rd or something like that. So a month ahead of time, they're replanting and getting ready for this.
Yeah.
Marking it out and everything.
All right. So next topic is park hopping. Park hopping, as we know, went away for quite a while. It's back in a little bit of a modified form. Who wants to tell us about that?
I can tell about it. I did it when I was down there in February. So basically, you still have to have your park reservation for your first park. You have to go to that first park. You can't skip it and just hop. And you can hop after 2 p.m. So when I was there, we actually hopped a little bit early, and we did a bus. So the bus got us from studios to Animal Kingdom at about 1:50. They didn't stop us. It was no problem at all, I guess, because their transportation took us there. But I have heard of people doing something else in the morning and then going to their second choice park and having an issue with it because they didn't actually go to the first park they were stopped at. So you do have to do that.
I wonder if that's a technical thing. That's interesting.
Well, so, I've heard that they could, like, if you cancel your reservation and there's space available at the one you're trying to hop to, you could do that. But the one instance I read about, the cast member was not really that helpful and told them they had to go all the way back to the other park and to go through the turnstile and come back, which is a little extreme. Yeah. So, yeah, just know that you'd either have to switch your park or you have to go to the first park.
Still, it probably comes down to capacity. They want to make sure that everybody who had a reservation to go to that second park that day got in.
There's no reservation though. That's a technical thing. I'm just going to vent here because you're not making a reservation for the second park. So you make
a reservation. No, I mean the people that are going just for all day. They want to make sure that there's plenty of room for the people that was their first choice and that's their only choice.
Maybe.
So do you have to check a list before you hop to make sure that other park has capacity?
So technically they're supposed to let you know, but they didn't check. They didn't check to see if we had park hoppers on the bus. None of that. They just let us on the bus and took us there. So,
which could mean that they knew they had plenty of space. I mean, it is possible. Yeah.
Right. And we weren't ever trying to hop to Hollywood Studios, which is the only park that fills up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we didn't do that. So,
yeah, my advice would be not to hop to Hollywood Studios. Although by then the last session for Rise of the Resistance is done. So it really might not be such a big deal to try and hop to that park. But
yeah, because you can't get there because now the second session, you have to try at 1 o'clock. So you can't hop.
And you have to be in the park. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we should probably say what we were just talking about because we were just speaking Disney language amongst ourselves. So you want to explain that? No, you need to explain that.
Okay. So Rise of the Resistance is the newest ride in Galaxy's Edge, the Star Wars section of Hollywood Studios. They have a virtual queue that you have to get into. So there's no going and standing in line all day. Now what they're doing is 7 o'clock in the morning, you get online on your My Disney Experience app, and you actually should probably do it at 6:58 and you try to get a boarding group. If you get a boarding group, hooray, you're good. They kind of encourage you to not necessarily go to the park first thing, to kind of chill out and hang out. But if you want to ride some of the other cool stuff, you should go straight to the park and get there early. If you don't get the boarding group, you go to the park, your whole party has to be in the park. 1 o'clock, you get to try again.
But to get that 7 a.m. boarding group, you have to have a reservation at Hollywood Studios already.
And for the 1 o'clock one too, you have to.
Right. Well, yeah, because you can't get in otherwise. So yeah, that's why I think park hopping to that park at that time is probably okay. Maybe
2 o'clock.
But but if it's super busy, like if you know that those parks are sort of sold out, it would probably be good to choose another park to go to
So when we were there too, we had our reservation at Hollywood Studios. We got a boarding group at 7 a.m. We had a 3 o'clock lunch at Animal Kingdom. So our boarding group didn't get called in time for us to do that. And we were a little concerned. And so we went and talked to them and they said that anytime after our boarding group was called, we could come back and get in line. So basically we hopped over to Animal Kingdom. We had lunch. My daughter and I went back to Hollywood Studios, which was not that crowded when we went back. And then we did Rise and then we went and did Slinky Dog. I mean, yeah, we did a couple things. And
Far after your boarding group?
You could be four. So
hours. They told us that as long as you get there before the park closes, you can get in line.
That is true. Before does not count anymore.
And you still have to purchase the park hopper option, correct? On your ticket?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a, so there was a period of time, in case you've heard the rumor, there was a period of time where you could park hop if you had a VIP pass without a park hopper. But that was only because the park hopper, well, it wasn't a rumor. We actually talked about it on the show. So that was only because park hoppers were not available. So at this point, if you're going to park hop in any way, shape or form, VIP or whatever, you had to have a park hopper.
Yeah. And it's worth it because then you can hop over to Epcot and go to some of those booths every night.
Because now there's always a festival.
Can you hop more than once?
Oh, yeah. You can go back and forth.
Okay.
I don't think Disney advertises that, so you didn't hear it.
Actually, you mean go to a third park?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to assume you can, but I don't think I... You know what? We did. Me and my daughter went to Magic Kingdom after that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, before, the before times don't count, Donna. Now in we are now in a dystopian society. So that said, I wouldn't take Sandy's word for the fact that you can hop to a third because they might not let you, but if it's not crowded or if they're able to, they will let you. Yeah.
And also they were like up until probably about a week before we went, the park hours were not showing as late as they actually ended up being when we were there. So keep checking that because, you know, one of the COVID things was shorter hours, but I've been seeing them, especially on the weekends.
And as we're recording this, we're coming up on spring break season, which spring break season is technically about 2 months long, but the serious spring break season was about 3 weeks long where most of the country goes. And we're seeing the park hours starting to go up for that period of time. It's full and they're definitely increasing it. So don't assume when you book that that's going to be your final answer, just like anything right now. That's whenever you book, it's not your final answer right now.
You need to be fluid.
For anything like going to Mexico, going to Jamaica, whatever, going to Hawaii, it's not your final answer. Something may change between now and when you go.
So our next new topic is March 7th, Blizzard Beach reopened. And I actually listened to a podcast with somebody that was there on grand opening day and said the park looked fantastic.
I bet it did.
Yeah, everything was painted and refreshed and just looked really good.
That's awesome. And
Disney water parks are really something else. I mean, if you've skipped them, especially if you've been more than once, really, George? Never?
Yeah, I've never been to one of their water parks. No,
we're kicking you off the podcast.
We talked about this. We tend to do 5 days and just cram parks in, and we talked about doing like a 7 or 8 and having some down days. And
even how many times have you been to Walt Disney World, George?
I don't know, 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, go to the water park while it's hot.
Yeah, maybe 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For those of us who have been 30, there's really no excuse.
No, not that much yet.
But I think that it's worth it. Even if you are like every other year, every third year kind of visitor, you need to make time for that. Or if you're going for 7 days, you know, take a day off in your seven days. Well, don't spend the whole day at Disney Springs. Who needs to spend that kind of money? If you're going to spend that kind of money, you go to Disney's Blizzard Beach for the day and spend all that money you would have spent on a new purse at
if you just add it to a park hopper, it's not a whole lot.
Yep.
And then you get several days. You could go several times to the water parks if you wanted to. So
it
is a cool
cool
little thing to do. Especially when it's if you're there anytime from like April to October, you know, you're pretty much it would be okay for you to go to a water park.
And chlorine kills germs. Just saying. Good time to go. It really is, George. I mean, especially even if you're not a water park person, their water parks are so heavily themed that you'll find yourself having a good time despite yourself.
Yeah, I'm okay with some slides, and a lazy river is really cool. So
lazy rivers are
around
great.
Doing nothing. Yeah.
And Blizzard Beach has a ski lift. Takes you to the top of the slides. So
okay, yeah, I've had enough snow, thanks.
Well, but there's no snow, it's just a ski lift. Although they will cram you on there, so be sure you explain
don't
that you need
don't think that space. You and your wife will be like they won't put someone from the single rider line onto the ski lift with you, just because you guys think you're like big enough. Me and Lindsay had like some dad had to sit with us. We were like, "Are you kidding me?" They probably wouldn't do that right now, actually, with COVID. Mm-mm. I bet you they don't, because you know, COVID.
Good time to go.
Yeah,
and I also recommend highly, if you can spring for it, especially if your original plan was to go to Disney Springs for the day, spend the extra $100 on a cabana so that you have some private space to yourself. Because not all the lounge chairs are in the shade, and a cabana is always shaded, or at least has a shade option. I think it's a great way. That way you don't have to worry about your stuff, and you can sit there and they'll bring you food, and yeah.
You have the designated space too for people to come back and meet.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, next new thing coming is Disney's Magic Mobile service, which looks like it's going to basically take your old school Magic Band and move it to your mobile device.
Yep.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
Really? Although
I was one of the people that bought a Magic Band and then decorated it all up and painted it and did all kinds of cool things with them. So I wouldn't miss that because I really don't want to paint up my iPhone, but as opposed to having a hard ticket, yeah, I'll take the mobile app any day.
Yeah. Well, you still could get a Magic Band. You just had to pay for it, whereas you didn't before if you were staying on site. Yeah.
So, like, okay, wrap your head around this. You are a family with a bunch of small kids who don't have their own mobile phones. You know, I don't know. And you have a phone that dies all the time.
All right, yeah. So let's be clear. If you go to the front desk and say, "I don't have a Magic Band and I don't want to use my mobile phone," they will give you a card just like they did in 1980. Like, you can still get your Key to the World card. They may not call it that. And actually, so I tested this in February because in February they weren't totally mobile yet, but they also didn't offer Magic Bands as a free thing with your reservation. So I was going to the parks for one day. So I'm like, I'm not going to buy a Magic Band for that. And I forgot my Magic Bands because I have 800, which might have worked. So I went to the front desk and I said, "So I can use my phone to charge." And she said, "Oh, I'll just give you a card." And she gave me a cute little Key to the World card. I don't know if they call it that right now, but that's what it is, with the new Minnie Mouse on it, the new like stylized new Minnie Mouse on it. And I could use that as a substitute. I thought I was going to be able to boop into the park with my iPhone. In February, I couldn't do that. In theory, now I would be able to. So I needed the card to get into the park. But after that, I didn't really need it. Because if you don't have your Magic Band and you don't want to use the app, you can still use Apple Pay in the parks. So
Ellie probably used the Key to the World card, and it worked for the door to our room and all that stuff too. We should say too, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but you don't do the fingerprint anymore. There's no biometric scan when you go in. So
that doesn't mean that'll always be that way, but I think,
well, they've changed them now though. It's like a new, or maybe there's like a cap over it or something, but there's nowhere to even put your finger.
There was a cap over it. Yeah. Cause they don't want you touching it. Yeah. There was a cap over it. Because when I went in September, there wasn't one. And they're like, "Oh, no, don't touch that." So I think they added a cap. So by the time I went in February, it was there. Yeah.
So this sort of reminds me of MaxPass from Disneyland.
Yeah.
Whereas you would load all your tickets in and then you'd get all your fast passes. And it was just a swipe to the left for each person and they'd scan them. So,
I can see that.
Well, but in theory, this is going to be Bluetooth. So you're going to have your ticket on your phone and you just boop it. Like you do Apple Pay or whatever.
That'd be better.
In theory, yeah. We haven't seen it work yet, but yeah.
And it's only rolling out on Apple first. So if you're like me and you move over to a Google Pixel, you're going to be waiting a little bit longer. So
what were you thinking?
Got your old Magic Bands and take those with you.
So you get a Key to the World card. Boom.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, if you've been in the last 2 years, your Magic Band should work. In theory, the battery is 2 years. So, but don't count on it, especially if it's 2 years old. If it's 6 months old, then you're probably going to be able to use the Magic Band you used before. I've definitely done that within 6 months, but I haven't tested a 2 year Magic Band.
Yeah, I haven't
either. They need the little plastic tabs so that if you get a magic band, until you pull the plastic tab out, the battery doesn't make contact and doesn't actually start working.
I've never had a plastic tab on my magic band.
No, but I'm saying that's something they should do. So if I buy a magic band, it's not automatically draining the battery right now. It wouldn't until I pull the tab and activate it.
George, they won't do that.
I know.
Do you know why?
It's going to be another cute magic band a year later.
Yeah. And that's actually, like, Sandy brought this up in our Slack group. She was like, oh, well, they wouldn't let me. Your magic band is a chip. They can move your magic band to anybody. If you want your magic band to go to somebody else in your party because you don't want to use it because you have another one, deactivate it before you go. And the way you do that is through My Disney Experience. Just go in and deactivate it. And then there's absolutely zero reason they can tell you that they can't activate that for somebody else, because it literally is a chip. There is absolutely no reason they can't activate it for somebody else.
They told me they would. I had three magic bands with me and they wouldn't let me switch one over to Ellie.
You did not yell loud enough.
No, I was ready to get to my room and I just said, whatever, give her the card.
And I mean, the chip is free. I mean, the card is free. And for them, it may actually be easier to just give you the card than to switch it over, because they have to deactivate it and then activate it again. But
and they really are trying to not let you go to the front desk either. I mean,
right. But what happens when you buy a magic band in the parks? What happens?
I don't know. I've never done that.
They activate it. How do they do that? They attach it to your mind. I mean, like, there's absolutely no reason that they can't do that. So, yes, if you have four magic bands from your last trip because you went with three girlfriends and now you want to take your family, they should be able to switch that over. And you may even be able to do that from home. I haven't tried it yet.
Mine, I did that. I tried to do it, but it wasn't working. And I went on my phone as well as on my desktop. But when I got there, the front desk lady was able to help me.
Yeah, you just have to, when you get to the front desk, say, no, I'm going to use these magic bands. Help me. No. Don't say no.
That you can do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cloud. That's the whole point. Right. It's not. Yeah, it's not. Don't fall for that. Anyway, off my soapbox.
Yep. So one other thing we've noticed that, well, let's start over. By the time you hear this, spring break will be long over. But we've actually seen parks where there are no availability for certain days, or there are days where there are no parks available at all. So just because you can buy a ticket doesn't mean you're going to get into the park you want. Or I'd hope they wouldn't sell a ticket if they didn't have any parks available for a certain day, but
they will.
I mean, they do tell you to check it when you go to buy it. So I guess, it's on you to check it.
I don't think they have that stopper in place. And the other thing is, people buy. So I literally, this just happened to a friend of mine who is a travel agent. He told his family who booked 3 weeks ago, you must go in right now and make your park pass reservations. And the family did not read the email until yesterday. And they went in yesterday and they were like, wait, all the parks are full. Oops. And they admitted, I didn't read your email because it was dated from 3 weeks ago. But they weren't expecting it. So they're moving their trip. But that's the other thing, is Disney will still sell you a ticket, because just because somebody bought a ticket for that day doesn't mean they're going to use it. Lots of people are canceling right now. So until you make that park reservation, they don't know that you're serious. And I know that sounds weird, but they don't. I mean, so many people are canceling right now because they don't feel comfortable. So yes, you could buy a ticket and 3 weeks later go to make your reservations and they're not there. So
yeah, I've read some reports where a family would book the reservation, book tickets, make the reservation, then relatives want to go with them. And they didn't know that they were supposed to make reservations. And then when they found out and went to, there weren't any spots left. Yep. So then you got two groups of a family stuck in two different parks.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely more planning than it used to be.
See, that's why you use a travel agent. Well, I
just
told
the example of my friend who sent a very clear email. And so I've started sending texts to my clients in all caps. And I started with, sorry for the all caps, but, and then in all caps, make your park reservation.
I had a client that I said that to like 3 times. And then finally in an email, she's like, wait, what are you talking about? I'm like, okay, go in.
Yeah.
So I guess she, the whole time she read it, she just thought she knew what I was talking about, but she didn't know.
Yeah. And to be fair, it is different. So, yes. I mean, it's different. And it's not going to always be like this. When you listen to this in a year from now, you're going to be like, oh, park observations. That was so cute. But, you know, it, for right now, it is essential to your trip. Yeah. And I've seen people standing at the ticket booth trying to buy tickets to a park on a day that's sold out, Disney Hollywood Studios, not understanding why they can't get into that park. What do you mean it's sold out? You know, it's October. How can it be sold out? It's sold out completely.
Yeah. So the next thing we have is Disney's Polynesian Village Resort is going to reopen this summer with a Moana theme.
Yes.
Which looks is good. Cute, it needed something.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm loving this whole like changeover to the hardwood floors and USB ports everywhere. I like this look. I think it's easier for them to clean. It's yeah.
Well, my daughter loves a Moana and it's hard to find stuff in the park. So I'm hoping that they'll
there is.
Moana yeah, stuff.
It could be. And it is people. Some people are saying, oh, well, everything has become movieized. That's a new word that I just made up, but
it's Disney.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. And it'll still be the Polynesian. Like, I don't think that Moana will take over everything. She's not going to be standing on top of the roof, you know, declaring how she knows the way. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot more subtle than that, but I think it's appropriate. And you're right. They're making the rooms easier to clean and they're taking this time. That's the other thing is the Polynesian has been closed for quite some time. And I've had many clients upset about that. What do you mean it's closed? I want to make a reservation there. Well, it's closed. And you can stay at the villas right now as we're recording. Well, and for a while after, but it's closed. The monorail is not stopping there because they're renovating. So I don't really recommend even staying in the villas. You know, if you're a long timer and you're okay with the fact that you're basically camping in a really nice hotel room, then that's fine. But when it reopens, I think it'll be gorgeous.
We went there and ate when we were there in February. And yeah, we had to take the boat to get there from Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, where did you eat?
At Kona Cafe.
Okay.
Oh, my favorite.
Is Ohana open?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so. And the Tiki Bar isn't open.
No.
I don't think Cook's is open. Even well, Cook's is probably open for the villa guests. Yeah, yeah. And the general store is open for the villa guests, but it is. It's very bare bones.
They have their gift shop has a lot of stuff from Alani in there.
Uh-huh.
Like the turtle that is like Duffy's friend. That's there. It's really cute.
That's called cross marketing, Sandy. Yeah.
It's no, it's called bad. Nobody's at Alani, so they brought all this stuff and stuck it at the Polynesian gift shop.
If they have that Hawaiian salt, then I would totally sign up for that. But even like we were in February, we were going to do a monorail crawl and you can't stop at the Poly at all. Like there's no option.
I mean, they boarded up the second floor. There's no door.
If you're staying at the Poly, you have to walk the TTC to take the monorail. It's not like it's not even for just resort guests. They do not stop there at all right now.
Did you see the pictures of it? They completely bulldozed all the concrete lifts and rebuilt everything.
Yep.
Does anybody know when that's supposed to reopen?
End of July.
For the monorail or just the Poly?
I think it's all going to happen at the same time. July 19th is when you could. So you can book the Poly starting July 19th, and I assume it's all going to open at the same time. Honestly, the only reason I think they open the villas, totally supposition on my part, is because people own that. Like, they've had to open it as early as possible because it's a quote residence. People are paying a mortgage on that timeshare stuff. But I mean, there's no obligation to open the rest of the resort under that.
That's one of the resorts I've always wanted to stay at that I've never stayed at yet.
Worth it. Worth it. 100%.
Yeah. That and Wilderness Lodge is the other one I've always wanted to stay at.
Love Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah. All right, moving right along. Tips for the parks. It looks crowded, but the lines aren't as bad as they seem. Because I've seen some pretty ugly looking lines.
Yeah,
Santa wrote this. I disagree.
Well, okay, so when I was there in February, it was a holiday weekend, and I do think it was a little crowded, but honestly, I would say most of the lines we stood in were 30 to 45 minutes long. We only stood in two lines that were an hour. And a lot of times, the lines were shorter than the posted time. For example, Peter Pan, yes, which is always a crazy line.
Mm-hmm.
The Peter Pan line goes all the way into the, what's the Harbor Restaurant? Harbor House Restaurant?
Columbia Harbor House?
Yeah, it mm-hmm. goes into the restaurant, up the stairs, all through the upstairs, you know, like you're going up and down the stairs, and then you go over into the regular queue. And I still think it was less than a 40-minute wait when we were all done. The Frozen ride in Epcot stretched all the way to China.
That's from Norway to China.
I literally mean that. We were standing in China. And yeah, it snaked, you know, like even when you come back out, it snakes back into like where the exits are and stuff. But that was like a 35-minute wait. So it wasn't, you know, I mean, just know it's, you're going to be in these longer lines because they're spacing them out, you know, but most of them weren't as bad as they seemed. So
much. And to attest for, take your travel agent's advice for when to go. I think I left Walt Disney World the day that Sandy, you arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there that Tuesday. You arrived that Thursday. I was at Epcot. Mm-hmm. I walked on to Frozen. Yeah. Walked on to Frozen. Those are words that I have not been able to string together ever. We were amazed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, but, I mean, with no fast passes, I think a 30 to 40 minute line is what you need to expect.
Yeah. And whatever. I think that your reason for writing this was, keep in mind that there's social distancing. So just because the line is in China,
yeah,
it's the line is actually one third the length of what it actually is. Like in on that day, you would probably be backed up to like just around the corner from Akershus. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or not even. I mean.
So yeah, they really weren't. See, we didn't, for Peter Pan, it didn't even go that far. It actually just went, it went down or actually around near Sir Mickey's. It actually went the other direction.
Really?
Interesting.
The day we went, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that, yeah, they look worse than they are, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I do think that consistently the signs are wrong. So if it says it's a 40-minute wait, it's probably a 30.
They like to under-promise and over-deliver.
Yep. It's the Disney way.
Yep.
Yep. This is the way.
And our last topic is something that hasn't changed, but I wish it would, and that's masks are still required and will be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you know. It's not that bad, George. It really isn't.
And they sell such cute masks.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
I have one mask for every season. These are the masks that I wear. This is my daily mask. I have several Disney masks, and I've bought them at, I've done Shop Disney online, and I've gotten them from the Disney store at our local mall. I like the way their masks are made, and these are the most comfortable masks I have, so I do wear them a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in February, we double masked because it was kind of still in that surge time before a lot of the vaccines were rolling out. And my friend had bought these little plastic, just little pieces that you wear under your mask to kind of hold the mask away from your face. And that made a big difference with being able to breathe and not feel uncomfortable. So yeah,
doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? Oh, okay. So it was two masks with the clip. All right.
Yeah.
So if you pull it all the way out, does it really help?
It's a plastic filter. I mean, a friend of mine had that too. It leaves a really sexy mark around your mouth too if you take off your mask.
But you don't take it off, so you know.
Well, to eat you do. I have not had any problem wearing the mask. I mean, I think the only time that the masks were uncomfortable to me was when it was raining. Mm-hmm. So try not to go to Disney when it's raining. But generally, that's a good rule anyway.
It's in Florida, and so...
Yeah. But Rain is a big deal. And that's where, like, if you're a big paper mask person, bring a few cloth masks anyway, because a paper mask in the rain, it's unfun. It's horrible. So, but I really, it doesn't bother me at all. And knowing that all those other people aren't breathing on me, I mean,
yeah,
I'm all about the social. I wish the lines would always have that little line that says, stop here. Do not touch me.
The people still don't listen to them, but.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I've had in my many, many times at Disney, I've had kids like literally with their face on my butt. You know, no personal space at all. It's
I've seen kids like licking the handrail.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
So I'm okay with the masks. I really like that everybody else is wearing one, so I will wear one too, because I'm not dirty, but everybody else is. For the record.
Well, and also one of the big things is know this going into it, that you will be required to wear them. And the cast members are just enforcing the statutes that are set by the city, by the county, by the state, and by Disney Corporation. So it's not their fault, and don't take
it. And BT Dubs, even if Florida, the governor, lifts the mandate, Disney may not. Disney is its own city. So they have their own rules. So they are private property. And I've had many clients tell me that they felt safer at Disney than they felt anywhere, because Disney can enforce it like no one else wants to.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.